congregation, please be seated.
I should have listened to my family. They said, if you marry into that family, you're going to regret it. They were right. My wife, her grandfather was Caesar Augustus, and I'm Pilate. And because she was who she was, I got to be who I am, the governor, the leader of Judea. Now, a lot of folks don't like Judea. They say of all the Roman kingdom, Judea's at the bottom. But I get a really nice palace to live in, and it's pretty good to be governor, ruler of all. If it wasn't for those people, you know, life would be a lot easier if it wasn't for people, especially those religious people. The normal everyday Jew just goes to church, but the leaders, oh, there's the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, oh, the Zealots, they're really cut you. And then there's the high priest. Annas was pretty good, but Caiaphas, he's just a royal pain to me. I just want to govern them, and those religious people are always, they're always creating a mess. Well, today was no different. It's Friday. Friday, my favorite day of the week. Judges, politicians, preachers, and governors, we don't work on Friday. And so I play golf. Every Friday I play golf. And this is a holiday weekend. It's Passover for those Jews. And so I knew I needed to get to the golf course early. So I had my clubs out and my shoes were out. And then I heard the knock on the door. They know better than to knock on the door on a Friday. But I went to the door, and there they were. It was a high priest and a man with him, and there were several others. And there was a pretty good crowd in front of my door on an early Friday morning. And I said, what do you want? And they said, you must arrest this guy, Jesus. You must arrest him. Who? Why? Now, I've heard of this Jesus. He even creates a mess for them, I understand. But what did he do? Well, he hates Rome, said Caiaphas, and he tells the people not to pay taxes to Caesar, and he even says that he's the Messiah, the king. Well, I bring him in, and y'all just wait. Are you really the Messiah, the king of the Jews? And he said, it's what you've said. Well, I questioned him a little bit. And then I said, listen, this is a religious deal. He's done nothing wrong. I'm the governor. He's innocent. Move on. Oh, they said, you just wait. You just wait. And they had a lot of folks in the palace yard walking all over the yard. And they just said, do something, do something, hush. And he's done nothing wrong. Now, I've just talked to him. They said, you don't know. He's been all over Galilee, everywhere he goes. And in Galilee, he creates all type of mess. He's stirring things up. He's stirring things up. And he's in Galilee. You're from Galilee. You're a Galilean. Yes. Well, good. You go to Herod, all of you. Herod's in town. He's at the local hotel. He's here for Passover weekend. Go to Herod. Herod can deal with it. I don't even like Herod. So you go right on. Good day, goodbye, good riddance. Ugh. I should have got up earlier. Well, I understand they went to Herod, and Herod was just so excited. Oh, he was so excited. He had heard about Jesus, and he had heard that Jesus did miracles. So Herod said, hey, Jesus boy, hey, do some magic, do some magic. Here's some bread, here's some fish. Come on, do something. And he didn't. Jesus, here's some water. Make it wine, make it wine. Herod wanted to see a trick. It didn't happen. Oh, they began to tell Herod, he's bad, he's bad. You need to convict him. Pilate wouldn't do a thing. He must be arrested. Herod said, oh, forget it. Herod and the soldiers just made a lot of fun of him. Herod said, let's get a big robe and put on him. Oh, now he looks like a king. Herod said, get out of here. Go back to Pilate. It's my weekend. Again, I should have never eaten breakfast. I should have grabbed that golf bag, got on those shoes, and went. Because before I could even go, boom, boom, boom on the front door, and they just came right on in. I said, hey, don't they? And there were now not just the Sanhedrin, not just the elders. The lawn was filled. They were saying, arrest him. You must arrest Jesus. And I said, you must calm down. And I pulled him back in. And I said, what about Herod? Forget about Herod, they said. What has he done? They began to talk more of that religious stuff. He's causing trouble. He's causing trouble. You've got to arrest him. You've got to arrest him. One of them said, he needs to die. I talked to this Jesus. I talked to him. He had done nothing to be arrested. He had surely done nothing to deserve death. They said, you're the only one who can do it. You're the only one who can declare death penalty to him. You must have Jesus killed. I said, listen, it's not going to happen. Here's what I'll do. I'll have the soldiers. They can beat him up. They'll beat him up really good. I am in charge. He will be beaten, and that's it. They said, that's not enough. And I said, that's all you're going to get. Well, there's this little Jewish thing that happens on Passover. As governor of Judea, I can release a prisoner. It doesn't always happen, but this would be a good year. Jesus, I'll say, you're arrested. Now I'm going to release him. So I opened the door, and there was a crowd. And they were already yelling, arrest him, arrest him, arrest him. And they were throwing stuff, and they were out of control. Now, let me tell you, Caesar doesn't like the Jews to get out of control. And you could feel it. You could feel it. There was such uneasiness. There was such anger. And I said, listen, I will arrest Jesus. Yeah, yeah. But I will release him. I will release him. Boo! No! And they said, Barabbas. What? Barabbas! Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! Barabbas! Barabbas? Barabbas bar Jesus? Barabbas? Barabbas is an insurrectionist that was arrested. He is a murderer. He may be the worst guy in all the prison. And it kept going. Barabbas! Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! And I said, then what shall I do with Jesus? Crucify. 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 My wife comes and says in my ear, I had a dream. I had a dream about this. It's not good. He is innocent. I know that. Crucify. 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 I knew in my heart, he's innocent. But the people, that crowd, they were all around me. And I'll tell you this, I washed my hands and said, fine. Take him. And they did. I should have listened to my family. never married into this family. I don't even want to play golf. Well, I don't know if it was exactly like that. But if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you will read the story of Pontius Pilate. It's very interesting to me that in the Nicene Creed and in the Apostles' Creed, only three names are mentioned. Mary, Jesus, and Pontius Pilate. Of all the ones that could be mentioned, of all the names, the only one besides Mary and Jesus, Pontius Pilate. I've enjoyed doing monologues through the years. Often the monologue just speaks for itself. And so when I thought about this series of sermons of Lent, I thought I'll do a monologue on Pilate. And all week I thought, why did I do that? Because this monologue in the story of Pilate gets a little too close to home. Because I'm afraid in my life, maybe in yours, we're more like Pilate than we should be. The crowd, the vocal, loud crowd. Sometimes it's a majority, and sometimes it's just the vocal minority. You get the crowd stirred up. You get the crowd, and maybe it's fear, or maybe it's concern, or maybe it's the unknown. Often it's not the truth. You don't even know what the truth is, and you believe you have in your heart the truth. You know what you believe and what your heart and what the Holy Spirit tells you. You know that, but the crowd is so loud. Jesus, he preached grace and mercy and compassion. All that Jesus did in the years of his ministry was all about grace and compassion and kindness. Jesus was often referred to as the friend of sinners. The friend of sinners. Of all the titles, Messiah, Savior, Lord, friend of sinners. Jesus was always, in the Gospels, he was always with the outcast, the lowest, the least, the lonely, the widow, the immigrant, those who were marginalized, the Samaritans, the women. Jesus was always there for them. But the crowd, you try to live grace, you try to preach grace, and the crowd says, no, we need more rules. We need regulations. We love to be Pharisees. As church people, we want no, especially Baptists. Don't. I grew up in that. I had to go to training union to learn it. Don't. I want to be a Methodist. Don't. Grace always loses. There's too much grace. You give people grace and they'll just run right over you. They need more law. Sinners? You know you better not hang around sinners. You'll get a reputation. No, we need to gather at the church. We need to have another prayer meeting. Those sinners, we need to condemn sinners. Sinners should be judged. Preacher, you need to preach more hell, fire, and damnation. Burn, sinner, burn. Oh, that's what we need to hear. Oh, the good old days. Sinners. Jesus, who cared for the poor. Well, everyone could get a job if they wanted one. Jesus, who cared for the least. Jesus, who touched that leper. Outcast, unclean. Jesus, who raised women up to a position Oh, don't mess. Don't, preacher, don't get political on us. Don't tell us to mess with the immigrants. Don't tell us to be with the outcasts. No, we just need to take care of us. We need to be all about the church. We need to be all about Christians. And don't give us too much Jesus. That's what the crowd says. And if I'm not careful, I become like Pilate. And though in my heart I know grace and mercy, in my heart, I know we should do more to those who are hurting and lonely and outcast and ostracized. I know if we were to be like Jesus, we would be with sinners and those hurting. But listen, it's not just the church people who are loud. It's not just the religious folks who scream, and it's the world. It's the world. The world says, if it feels good, do it. And we try to preach morals, and we try to preach that there are some right and wrong, some absolutes, and the world says, forget that. That's why the church is so out of touch. You're not living in the current generation. Come out to Hollywood. We'll tell you how it's really done. The world says, we've missed it, and they're so loud. And we become just like the world. How can we be light to the world, which is dark, if we don't stand for something? Integrity and ethics. Integrity and ethics. No, it's all about me. If I need to lie, if I need to cheat, whatever I need to do, it's all about me. Integrity, ethics, morals, the world says, forget it. And if we're not careful, we do forget it. And the crowd seems so right. They're so loud. And the heart and Christ in us in Scripture is just forgotten. Pilate asks the question, what shall I do with Jesus? And when I read that text, I think Pilate. You know, that's a good question. I think of Pilate. I think of Pilate. He should have done that. What should you do with Jesus? What should we do with Jesus? This season of Lent, as we've made our way and making our way towards the resurrection and the cross, we've looked at different characters, hoping that their story could influence our story. Jesus told the parable 5 weeks ago. I shared it. The Pharisee, the religious one, and the sinner go to pray. And the sinner says, God have mercy on me. And the Bible says this one, the sinner, was justified. And he followed Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus on the outskirts of Jericho, God have mercy. Jesus says, because of your faith, you shall see. And Luke says, and he stood and followed Jesus. Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. And he did. And he repented. And he followed Jesus, and it's interesting that all the people said, Jesus is going to his house? He's a sinner. Yeah. And Zacchaeus followed Jesus. And last week, Peter, I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. Denied Jesus, heard the rooster, looked at Jesus, wept. But no failure is final. Jesus wasn't finished with Peter. Until his dying day, Peter followed Jesus. And now it's Pilate. Luke 23. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that Jesus be crucified, and their shouts prevailed, wanting to satisfy the crowd. Pilate granted their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, and the one they asked for. And he surrendered Jesus to them. Who will we follow? Will we follow the crowd? I think that's easy. Because the crowd is so loud. The crowd is so right, it seems, though my heart says no. Or will we follow Jesus? Will we follow Jesus? Regardless of what the majority does, regardless of what the minority does, will we follow Jesus? This day, let's decide not to follow the crowd. Let's follow Jesus. Shall we pray? Oh God, I don't like this sermon. Because this sermon is to me, because too often, whether it's as a pastor or a husband or a dad or a friend, I listen to the crowd and I stop listening to you. When I should be a person of grace and forgiveness and mercy and justice, I become legalistic and judging and condemning. When I should be a friend of sinners, I just want to hang out at the church with the saints. When I should look to those who are forgotten and displaced and maligned, I throw rocks at them. What will we do with Jesus? Let us follow him. For when we follow Jesus, we'll be filled with grace and mercy, and we'll give grace and mercy. We'll be friend to those who are sinners. Yes, we'll point the way unapologetically to the truth, the life, the resurrection, and the hope. Oh God, this day let us commit right now to follow you. Wherever you lead, we'll go. Let us not be like Pilate, but let us be like you. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you have, I hope you'll sing that song. I hope you'll mean it. If not, then maybe just hum. I hope we all sing it. I'll be here at the front if you need to share with me. Would you stand as we sing?
I'm
remain standing, but I want you to meet Travis and Kelly, Lawrence and Hannah. Y'all just turn around. Hannah, so they can see you. This is Kelly Baker, Lawrence. Sorry, she don't really go by Kelly Baker. Kelly, of course, grew up here. There are her parents over there. Matt, put that guitar down. Come stand by your sister. Usually she's telling Matt what to do, so now I can tell Matt what to do, and he can stand. Mom and Dad, y'all can stand there too, but, you know, Matt needs to get down here in front of everyone. We're so glad to have Travis and Kelly and sweet Hannah as a part of our church family today. If you rejoice in their decision to be a part of us, let them know by saying amen. Amen. You come by and greet them and welcome them. As you leave, continue to be faithful to giving your offering, front pew, back pew, mail it, text it. We'll take it. We are grateful for it. You're so faithful in your giving. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, join us with those children. We'll be saying Hosanna, Hosanna, and throughout the week. We need some eggs for our kids' Easter egg hunt. You can bring those by the office. We'll need fresh flowers to decorate the cross the Saturday before Easter. And then we will celebrate the resurrection. Let us pray. God, as we go forth today, may the story of Pilate kind of haunt us and remind us that the crowd's not right, that following Jesus is always right. We want to follow. Help us, O God, as we follow Thee. It's my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.